Get ready to join Pastor Anthony Clark every Saturday from 8:30 p.m. for 30 minutes of life-changing, spirit-inspired teaching from the Word of God.
Focus on God's Word Ministry is designed to teach you the Word of God, enabling you to live better with God, yourself, and others. Focus is located at 159 Eastern Main Road, Barataria. For prayer, please call 746-0829-623-1889 or 674-0737. For the secret to a healthy soul is a renewed mind. Stay focused.
Praise the Lord. Welcome to the radio program, Focus on God's Word. I'm your host and Bible teacher, Pastor Anthony Clark, and I thank God for this opportunity and privilege whereby we can enter into your homes, your cars, or wherever you are and share with you today the living Word of God. Just before we get into the ministry of the Word, I just want to take time off and share some basic information with you about ourselves. I am Pastor Anthony Clark, the pastor of Focus on God's Word Ministries, and we are located at 159 Eastern Main Road in Barataria. Our services are every Sunday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., every Tuesday morning from 12 noon to 1 p.m., and every Friday evening from 7:15 to 8:30 p.m. So if you have been listening to the program, you are enjoying it, it's a blessing to your life, and you would like to come and be a part of a live service, you can choose any one of these three services. If you belong to a local church and you cannot come on a Sunday, but you can visit us on a Friday, feel free to come. Also, one of the things I love about the ministry is that we have a website, and you could check out the ministry website. It's fogwm.org, Focus on God's Word Ministry. That's what that F-O-G-W-M stands for. And on the website, we have radio programs from 2011 to present on a variety of subjects. You can go on, you can download it, put it onto your MP3, put it on your phone, on your tablets, or what, so you can have it with you. It is all free of charge. So go enjoy it and let God's Word transform your thinking, which will transform your life. Amen. Or if you want to connect with us, you can call us at any of these two numbers, 623-1889 or 746-0829, and someone will be there to connect with you. Now, I want to start a new series today, and I'm calling this series Misconception About Prayer. And I ask that you be very open-minded, because I'm going to teach some things in reference to prayer that may be contrary to some of the way we think about prayer, maybe contrary to some of the things we do when we practice prayer, but my job is not to create confusion. My job is to help. God told me years ago that He called me to the teaching ministry to help people live better with Him. So everything I teach is about helping you to live better. Okay? Now, so we're going to call this Misconceptions About Prayer. First thing we want to establish is this, that God, our Father, is a prayer-answering God. Our Heavenly Father is a prayer-answering God. And I want you to say that to yourself quietly. Say, God, my Heavenly Father is a prayer-answering God. Say that again. Say, God, my Heavenly Father is a prayer-answering God. And we're going to look at a couple of scriptures that bring that out. The Bible says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let everything be established. So the first witness we're going to start with is Jeremiah. Jeremiah 33, verse 3. Here's what Jeremiah said by the Spirit of God. God is speaking through Jeremiah. He says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. So you get that? He said, call unto me, and I will answer thee. So God is a prayer-answering God. But not only is He a prayer-answering God, he says, I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. So He will not just answer the prayer. He will show me things that I don't know about. That's one. Second witness is the psalmist David in Psalm 91. Verse 15 and 16. Psalm 91, verse 15 says, and he shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. So he said, call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him. Then verse 16 says, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. So the psalmist David again, the Spirit of God is saying, call upon him and he will answer. So God is a answering prayer God. Now, third witness, we're going to the new covenant, Matthew 7. Verse 7 and 8. So this time we're looking into the new covenant. And in the new covenant, here's what it says. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receive it. And he that seeketh, find it. And to him that knocketh, it shall be open. So these verses of scriptures indicate to us that our Heavenly Father is a prayer answering God. Right. So we have that established because you need to have that established. As a matter of fact, I have one more verse I'm going to add. It's not in my notes, but I'm going to add this one in the multitude and three witnesses. So we're going to have four. Let's look at the Apostle Paul. Hebrews 4 and verse 16. Our Heavenly Father is a prayer answering God. Here's what Hebrews 4 and verse 16 says. It says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Again, confirming that our Father is a prayer answering Father, or our God is a prayer answering God. However, when it comes to praying, it is possible that we could be asking for the right thing the wrong way. You understand me? And it is possible that put it this way, there are right and wrong ways to pray. Okay? And James 4 verse 3 brings out that truth. In James 4 verse 3, it says, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lust. So there are right ways and there are wrong ways to pray. Even though God is a prayer answering God, if we are not working by the right ways and the wrong ways, we are going to miss God in how he deals with us where prayer is concerned. So we have to make sure that we're praying right. Now, here's what I have found. I have given my heart to the Lord in the year 1985, I think between the month of March on April to April. And since that time, I have been walking with God and have never had a desire to backslide, nothing like that. A love for the things of God and the word of God came up in my heart from the day I got saved. From the night I got saved, the Spirit of God, that's the first time I really, really could say I heard God's voice speaking to me, and he began to talk to me about his plan for my life. The same night I got saved, he said to me, listen, you are going to be a minister of the gospel. That's my plan for your life. And I knew that. And then some weeks after, he started to deal with me about studying the Bible because after he spoke to me about the fact that I'm born again now and he called me to ministry, I found a local church and I started to inquire about Bible school because I knew he called me to ministry and I had to be trained. And in the process of inquiring about Bible school and talking to him, he indicated, listen, I don't want you to go Bible school. I am going to train you. And I said, what? He said, no, I'm not sending you to Bible school. I don't want you to leave your job and go Bible school. I've called you to ministry, but I am going to train you. And within some months, he spoke to me and he said, okay, time to start the training. And he outlined material he wants me to get. And he said, go buy all these things. And I went and started the process of buying these things. And then I said, okay, God, I'm accumulating all these things. You tell me, buy them. And after accumulating a good bit of them and some concordance and vines and all of that and thing, I said, what do you want? He said, okay, now start to study. And I began to create study time. So even though I didn't go to a Bible school, I created a format Monday to Friday. And there are certain times when I come from work, I didn't go out, I didn't go line with nobody. I treated this as though I was in school and I began studying the Bible. And my main emphasis of study was primarily on the New Covenant. So I was able to study strong along that line. And in the process of my study and being in church and being around Christians, because I studied from 1985 to, I could roughly say 1990, before I started teaching. I started teaching the Bible in 1990 on a weekly basis. Before that, you know, sporadically I would share and so forth. But so I studied from 85 to 90, and the Spirit of God actually gave me the subjects that He wanted me to study. So my study time was on the subject of faith, prayer, healing, personal work of the Holy Spirit, and prosperity. And those five subjects up to this day are my foundation for my Christian faith. Those five. Now, I've learned other things besides those in my years of walking with the Lord. But the amount of studying I did on those five subjects, prayer, faith, healing, personal work of the Holy Spirit, and prosperity, it has, the amount of truths that have came into my heart and stabilized me. You know, in Peter said that I want you to become established in the truth. Those five truths have become so established in my heart that I have an abundance of information on those five subjects from the Bible in my heart. And prayer is one of them. And then I'm just giving you a little history of how God began to operate in my life. And then in 1990, I started to assist my pastor as a Bible teacher in the local church. And that's where I did a lot. And while doing that, I continued to study. So I could safely say I spent almost 10 years of studying before God launched me into my own ministry. And then in 1995, He said, okay, time for you to go to local churches and teach. And you go in there and teach on the personal work of the Holy Spirit and pray for people to be filled. So from 1995 to 2003, I went throughout local churches in Trinidad, the Tobago, a couple of the Caribbean islands, and teaching on the personal work of the Holy Spirit, emphasizing the baptism of the Spirit and speaking with tongues. And I did that for years. However, when it pastoral work came, then it like He said, I'm freeing you up now. Those subjects that you couldn't teach because I had you on a specific assignment teaching on the personal work of the Holy Spirit, you now have freedom to do. So that is when I began to teach on faith and on healing and on prosperity, because in those services, all I could have taught on really was the personal work of the Holy Spirit. And the way it was structured, I will never do more than two or three services in a church, because I said, oh, I'm not an evangelist. I'm not here just to win souls. I'm here to teach believers. My gift is to teach. So I spent most of my time teaching, and that was it. Now, I say all of that to bring you to this. I have seen from my study and experience so much unproductive prayer patterns in the body of Christ where prayer is concerned, that I think we sometimes we are conscious of it, and I think sometimes we are not conscious of it, and it has affected our success in terms of God being a God who answers prayer. Because I have seen plenty of people pray and didn't get their prayer answered. And one of the reasons for that is because there were unproductive prayer patterns that was developed over the years and are held on to. And what we have to do is understand that there are unproductive prayer patterns. And here's what happened when you hold on to an unproductive prayer pattern. It's found in Mark 13, verse 7. Mark 7, sorry, and verse 13. I have it back to front. Mark chapter 7 and verse 13. Okay, here's what it says. It says, making the word of God of none effect through your traditions, which you have delivered, and many such like things do ye. Let me read it again. Making the word of God of none effect through your traditions, which you have delivered, and many such like things do ye? So the Bible is saying that, listen, there are some traditions that we hold on to, and those things that we have hold on to have made the word of God of none effect. It didn't say that the word of God doesn't have the ability to affect our lives. It does. But tradition can stop the word of God from having its impact. Now, if you just meditate on that verse alone, that's a powerful thing, you know, because one of the most powerful things in the world is the word of God. And the Bible is saying that tradition can stop the most powerful thing in the world, which is the word of God. So it is indicating to us that if we don't deal with tradition, it can hinder the impact of God's word in our lives and in our nations and so forth. And what one of the ways you see it is in holding on to unproductive prayer patterns. Okay, so we're going to deal with some of these unproductive prayer patterns. So I want you to be open-minded, allow the word of God to challenge your thinking on certain concepts where prayer is concerned. The first one I want to deal with is this. Always, this is an unproductive prayer pattern I found. Always ending your prayer with the statement, "If it be your will, God." So it is an unproductive prayer pattern because every time you pray, you end the prayer with, "God, if it be your will. God, if it be your will. God, if it be your will." What you were saying is that you're not sure that the thing you're asking for is the will of God. And if you're not sure the thing you're asking for is God's will for you, what assurance do you have that God will give it to you? None, because you're not sure. And hear me, there's a portion of scripture that is found in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. And that verse of scripture goes like this. It says, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us." And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Verse 15, "And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desired of him." So this verse of scripture is telling us that, listen, confidence in prayer is based upon knowing the will of God. Confidence in prayer is not based upon assuming the will of God. You get me? Confidence in prayer is based on knowing the will of God. Verse 14, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything, how? According to his will, he hear us." Now, is this verse saying that I should pray and then say, "If it be your will"? No. Because I will not have no confidence. This verse is saying that I must know the will of God before I ask. Now, let me put this out here. What are some of the benefits of knowing the will of God? Or what is the benefit of knowing it is God's will before you pray? Come, work with me here. What's the benefit of knowing it is God's will before you pray? Why that is so important? Here's the answer. It is important because of this. It means that upon request, we will not be denied. It means this, the importance of knowing that it is God's will before I ask, it means this, that upon request, I cannot be denied. Why? Because I know that I know that I know this is what he wants for me. Number two, it means this, that the thing I want is the same thing that the Lord wants. And the thing the Lord wants is the same thing that I want. When both wills come together, answer to prayer takes place. So knowing God's will before informs me of God's desire, which creates my desire to be in line with his desire. Are you understanding me? Listen, there's a verse of scripture in Proverbs 13:2. Which I will go to in a bit because to define what we're talking about. But listen to me, people. Listen to me. Knowing God's will means that upon request, we will not be denied. You get me? So when I know something is God's will for my life and I make a petition, I don't have to make the petition, ending the petition with, if it be your will, God. I make the petition knowing that it is God's will. Now, here's the challenge we have. You and I know that we have seen in the Word where something is God's will for us. We know that. We prayed upon into God's Word, which is according to His will, and we still didn't get the results we were asking for. Did God lie to us? No, He didn't lie to us. Then what happened? Many things. For example, let me use the subject of healing. Okay, let me use the subject of healing. Healing is God's will. Yet there are people who prayed and didn't experience healing. Did God dishonor His will? Nope. You see, sometimes what you and I don't realize is that there are more things to answer prayer than just knowing it is God's will. Knowing it is God's will means that upon request, you will not be denied, but it's possible that the will of God could be delayed. What you just said? I said it's possible that the will of God could be delayed. So it may not have been denied, but I'm experiencing a delayed thing. Are you understanding me? Proverbs 13 and verse 12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. So this verse is saying here, listen, there are some things that could make your heart sick. One of those things that could make your heart sick is a deferred thing or a delayed thing. So you know it's the will of God. You prayed according to God's will. You believe you cannot be denied, but you didn't get your answer at the time you expected. Or you didn't have an expectation of time and you're trusting there for 3-4 months and nothing has changed. Does that mean that it was not God's will? No, I submit to you. It was God's will. You are experiencing a hope deferred. And if you don't deal with the hope deferred effectively, it will make your heart sick. What do you mean by make your heart sick? You could begin to walk in discouragement. You could begin to walk in anxiety. You could begin to walk in fear. You could begin to walk in frustration. You could become so despondent about the things of God. It work on your heart. And all that happening here is a deferred thing, you know. Hope deferred. Not hope denying, you know. Hope deferred. But you ain't dealing with it properly because your expectation was destroyed because of the length of time the thing is taken to come to pass. You see, because we think that once it is the will of God, it means that the answer is automatic. And the Bible doesn't teach that. What the Bible teaches that when you know it's God's will, it means that upon request, you cannot be denied, but you could be delayed. You get where I'm coming from. So you have to understand that some things like that could happen, but people don't pay attention to that side of it. So they think, well, it must have not have been God's will, because if it was God's will, there will be no delay. If it was God's will, there would be no denial. If it was God's will, it would have been instant. So therefore, the best way to pray is to end the prayer saying, if it be your will, O God. But I submit to you, that is not the correct way to pray. That's an unproductive prayer pattern that you must not hold on to. It will affect your prayer life, okay? And I want you to get that, because a lot of you listening to me, you're not getting answer to prayer because that is how you pray. Lord, I ask you to give me this, but if it be your will, you know, I don't want to be disobedient to your will. I just want you to give it to me, Lord, but if it be your will. That is not necessarily the correct way to pray. Now, am I saying that everything you're going to pray to God about, you need to know the will of God before? I'm not saying that, because you will be in some situations that there is no particular scripture verse pointing out the will of God for this thing, and you will need to be led by the Spirit of God who is on the inside of you. And at that point in time, even though you are searching for direction from Him, you're not hearing anything from Him. And if you're not hearing anything from Him, you really wouldn't have confidence that what you're going and ask for, He wants you to have it. You understand? Let me use an illustration. I had a close here, but let me use an illustration. When we moving to our present location 4 years ago, we had to renovate that place and fix it over. And I was coming from a place where of 700 square foot going into a place of over 4,000 square foot. And I had a congregation of 70 to 80 persons. So we thought, well, listen, let's not open up this place, because if we open up this place, we would be swallowed. And while they were working the night, one of my church members called me and said, Pastor, listen, we're working on this thing. If we build this thing by not opening up this whole 4,000 and only work with about 25,000 square foot, we will have to expand again. That not making sense. Let's just open it up. But opening it up would mean more money, which I didn't have. I said, well, I will get back to you. Give me 15 minutes. I went to God in prayer, in tongues and all of that, listening on the inside, trying to hear from God. Not the heaven was totally silent. I did promise him 15 minutes. I called him back in the 15 minutes. I said, listen, I'm praying and I ain't hearing nothing. He said, well, you had to make a decision what to do. I said, okay, go ahead and open it up. What you're saying making sense? He said, right, Pastor, let me trust God to provide the finance to do everything else we needed to do, because we didn't have sufficient money. But you're understanding me. Now, in a scenario like that, I'm not led. So I don't know whether I'm praying or not in faith. I just had to make a decision and stand in faith. And sometimes things like that happen. Now, I want to expand more on that, but I can't because I'm out of time. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Clark, the pastor of Focus on God's Word Ministry, and we're located at 159 Eastern Main Road in Barataria. If this program was a blessing to you and you would like to connect with us, you can call us at any of these two numbers, 623-1889 or 746-0829, and someone would be there to connect with you. We would also like to minister to you. So if you have a need for salvation, you have a need for the assurance of salvation, you have a need for the baptism with the Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, or you want somebody to come into agreement with you for healing, call us at 623-1889 or 746-0829, and someone would be there to connect with you. It has certainly been a joy sharing and teaching God's word with you. And I want you to tune in next week as we continue this study on misconception about prayer. Remember, the Bible says in the book of Daniel 11 and verse 32, the people that do know their God, they shall be strong and do exploits. Let me encourage you, don't seek to be strong. Don't seek to do exploits, but do seek to know God. Be with you next time. Stay blessed. Stay strong.
Join Pastor Anthony Clark every Saturday from 8:30 p.m. for 30 minutes of life-changing, Spirit-inspired teaching from the Word of God.
Focus on God's Word Ministry is designed to teach you the Word of God, enabling you to live better with God, yourself, and others. Focus is located at 159 Eastern Main Road, Barataria. For prayer, please call 746-0829, 623-1889, or 674-0737. For the secret to a healthy soul is a renewed mind. Stay focused.